The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast. One of the hosts thinks the most important defensive position is the Rover.
Ooh.
That's Len.
That's a Super Bowl caliber
joke.
Never
used that before.
I'm always amazed at the depth of them that you have. Have you recycled anyone more than once?
I definitely have, and I just try not to acknowledge it when I do. And I'm very fortunate in that none of the listeners pointed out, or no one's keeping track. Like,
I'm surprised with how dedicated your fan base is on this podcast that no one has actually tracked that and turned it into like...
Yeah, like whoever keeps track of the points from the team draft. I forget who does that. I think it is Sam.
And
shout out to Sam.
God bless him, especially this year.
You know what?
I make a Super Bowl trip to this podcast to celebrate a dominant season.
Wait, who did you... Did you have the Chiefs or the Eagles?
I had the Chiefs.
Do I have the Eagles?
I think so.
Oh, gosh. I need to find this out because it'll completely change my pick and my rooting interest.
Oh, yeah. See? Got to play the long game on these things.
That's Mike Golic Jr. I didn't actually introduce you. The host of Gojo. You're going to tape it here later. We're at Radio Row in Phoenix. Lenny's not here, unfortunately. Couldn't make it. But we're here, and we're here to talk about Chiefs offense versus Eagles defense. On Tuesday, Dominique and I talked about the other side of the ball. And then I figured we could do some props after. I was looking at them. It's not, you know, I'm not usually a props person, but...
I am slowly getting into that more, and I found a couple of very fun ones, so excited for that one. Going to be a good time.
Okay, so here's where I want to start the Chiefs offense versus the Eagles defense discussion. I think as certainly coming off of the NFC Championship, but you know, Super Bowl week, you spend a lot of time talking about the same stuff.
Yes.
And one of the things that's come up a lot, and I think it, like, people have gained appreciation for, is how deep and dominant this Eagles pass rush is.
Yes.
Naturally, that brings us to the last Super Bowl, Tampa Bay versus the last Super Bowl that probably the Chiefs were in versus the Bucs, where Patrick Mahomes was running for his life.
Yes.
The picture of him flying, making that.
It'll live in infamy. Him completely parallel to the ground, just chucking it up and hitting the receiver on that play.
Yes. One of the most incredible plays that will be lost to the sands of time because the Chiefs lost. But they lost, and in response to that loss, basically said, never again. We are going to invest heavily in our offensive line, perhaps at the expense of other positions. Right. Although they don't actually have an extremely expensive offensive line because they have guys on rookie contracts on the interior, right?
Yeah.
Who are very, very good in Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. But they said, you know, we care about protecting our quarterback, and it's paid off. And I guess that's where I want to start because, this is not that offensive line. This is very much so not that Chiefs offense that's kind of lives and dies by the big play a little bit more. This Chiefs offense was the most efficient in football this year at everything. There's no split. Like, you can go Mahomes versus man, Mahomes versus zone, Mahomes 10 yards, 20 yards, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's the best. But they're extremely efficient, and I think efficient in a way where, to me, I don't see a replay of that Super Bowl happening.
No, definitely not. And I think that's the hardest thing to recalibrate for so many of us this week, is you're right. We have that comp. And even me, that Super Bowl, I remember I was picking the Chiefs because I believed in Patrick Mahomes against all odds. And we found the limit to that there.
Right.
You're right that this isn't that. And also just the way the Chiefs offense has evolved in general around that group, I think they are uniquely positioned in this game to do a lot of things that can help an offensive line that doesn't need it. Like, if you look at the win rate metrics for all those guys individually on the Chiefs O-line, they're all really good pieces, but Andy and Eric Bieniemy do so many things that help out fat
people. So let's talk about some of those things. Jeff Schwartz, friend of the pod, walked by and just screamed, because... Just to peel back the curtain a little bit, Jeff and I have been obsessed with the Chiefs screen game throughout the Andy Reid era in Kansas City. We DM about it constantly. Like, there's like a sick screen. We're like, did you see that?
If you ever wondered how big a football nerd Mina Kimes is.
Listen, it's a beautiful thing. And it was interesting. I posted some of them because I just watched like all of their pretty much like their positive EPA screens over the weekend, because one, they're extremely good at it for a litany of reasons.
Right.
I mean, they're good at it because of the play design. which as a Seahawks fan makes me want to die watching how good their screens are. Seahawks are like the worst screen team in the NFL. They're good at it because their offensive linemen, and this is why I was sending you some clips, are just exceptionally good at execution, at finding work. They're good at it because they're skill players, whether it's Jet McKinnon taking the screen or Isaiah Pacheco, or, you know, their wide receivers and tight ends, they get involved, are very, very good at executing it. And then they're good at it because Patrick Mahomes is like a great screen quarterback, yeah. In part because, well, again, his smarts, his vision, his ability to manipulate defenders, but really like his arm, his crazy arm talent makes it such that,
yeah.
If a defender's in his face, he can get the ball around him and find a way. Basically, just to find, he'll execute the prettiest little dump off you'll ever see as a result of that.
He's got like the Doctor Strange where like all the arms start to appear. Yeah. He's the full expression of human emotion when it comes to dump offs there. I'd add one more thing, and this is what Jeff was talking about with us. They're great at it because it's emphasized.
Yeah.
Like Jeff said, he got there at the beginning of the Andy Reid era and said, Andy Reid will literally stop practice to go over the final points of the screen game himself. Like imagine Big Red out there in his Hawaiian shirt playing the role of Isaiah Pacheco or someone on those screens. Like the details matter so much on that specific play. We talk about this all the time with teams that go for it heavy on fourth down, this game being very relevant. You are what you rep. If in practice, yeah. This is something that's emphasized, hey, in these situations, be ready for this. Now, all of a sudden, the execution looks like it does.
So I think you could argue it's maybe never been more important than in this game for Kansas City. You know, they played the Niners, which is a very – if you want to get nervous about playing the Chiefs, put on that Niners tape because as an Eagles fan, actually don't put it on. It's terrifying. But and actually, I do want to touch on that game because I think they did some of the things they'll do. But as far as the screen games goes, it's very important to mitigate. As good as the offensive line is, the Eagles' defensive line has some favorable matchups. I would say, especially their edge rushers against the Chiefs' tackles. I feel bad for Andrew Wiley, but his name's going to be mentioned a million times as being the weak link on this offensive line versus Hassan Reddick. So this is one of the things the Chiefs can do to mitigate that a little bit. And I think they're going to go to it a lot.
Oh, and super important to go to it early, right?
Yeah.
Because when you've got a pass rushing group like you've got with Philly, it's basically kind of the evolution, like the Giants NASCAR package from years ago where we figured out you could put four DNs on the field. We've seen Philly loves to go five up and at least make you declare originally at the beginning. And I heard you and Dominique talking about this with the Chiefs and how they kind of used a linebacker to do that. You know, they would bring one of those guys up, make you declare so that the center's bought up. Everyone's kind of – because in a lot of those, you'll five down and everyone will go one-on-one unless you've got help coming from another spot. For the Eagles, they do that with rushers. They do that with D-line bodies and Hassan Reddick, who, you know, is a primary pass rusher. And so that creates a lot of stress and challenges early. Those guys want to just go forward, bats out of hell. You got to start making them think. I always said defensive linemen, if you can make them think about things early, make them worry about having to slow down, worry about contact coming from weird angles, you can buy a lot of that currency for later spots in the game that help you a ton.
So along those lines of making them think and then sort of countering the Eagles when they go five up. They went five up a bunch against the Niners. Yeah. Now, I would say they've been doing it actually a lot. I don't know if you like more as when the Jordan Davis comes back, they've got Linval Joseph and they bulked up so much on the defensive line. I think it kind of changes the structure of how they play run defense, certainly. Yeah. But, you know, they did a ton against the Niners because the Niners with their zone runs, I felt like it made a lot of sense. I question whether they'll want to do it as much against Kansas City because it does make them very vulnerable in that shallow middle of the field to the pass.
Definitely.
When you go five on the line. And like we talk a lot about the Eagles RPO game, and it is obviously terrifying. The Chiefs will RPO them to death too. I mean, and I think especially if they give them some of those looks where there's just a linebacker back there, I wouldn't be surprised if that's another thing that another thing that the Chiefs do to try to keep the Eagles pass rush from teeing off.
Yep, and I think we'll see a lot of those questions answered on those first couple of drives. Like the Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy scripted plays are always so fascinating to watch because especially in a year where you've gotten so many multiple tight end sets for them, and now some of that may be necessity going into this game with all of the injuries to the wide receivers for Kansas City with Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster, is one, seeing how Philly is going to adjust personnel-wise on defense for them with Avante Maddox walking around in a boot who, you know, sounds like he's going to go, but certainly you're nursing that going into this. all of those questions getting answered early as Andy just peppers them with a little bit of everything is going to be fascinating, because Philly really hasn't had to do a lot out of their comfort zone, especially during this playoff run.
The other area, I would say the screen game is one of the few areas. I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes is just a mismatch as a human being, but when you look at this defense, and they've been excellent all season, and then you look at the Chiefs offense or just whatever, there aren't that many weaknesses. One is, I do think they can exploit them in the screen game, exploit them with the RPOs, and then, you know, running the football, this, of course, has been the weakness of the Eagles defense all year. Even after, you know, the second half of the season when they bring in Joseph and Davis gets healthy, they've improved, but they were still a bottom 10 defense, in particular between the tackle. I mean, I have their, like, run splits. They're not pretty.
Mentioned between the tackles, especially against Kansas City, where the strength of that line is along the interior. Like, Joe Tooney, still one of the most unsung heroes along any line in the NFL, and then Trey and Creed. And with them, it's been interesting because scheme-wise, they kind of simplified things in Kansas City in the run game. For so long, when you brought in guys like Creed and a lot like Orlando, guys with backgrounds in running spread counter, which we thought was kind of going to be the flavor of that run game, they've now gone, their best run is under center outside zone. They just hammer people this year with that. And so against that Philadelphia interior, that's problems.
That brings me, that's actually the exact thing I wanted to ask you. The Eagles run defense outside the tackles, 14th in success rate. Between the tackles, 28th in success rate, 31st in yards after contact. If you split that to even just like week 10 or later, they're still a bottom 10 team. So you talk about this Chiefs run game, which outside zone generally has been their kind of bread and butter, but they mix it up. They do different things. The Eagles run defense is more vulnerable to man blocking, counter.
Yep.
Do you think that the Chiefs mix it up in the run game, or kind of stick to their bread and butter concepts?
I wouldn't be surprised if they threw a little bit of everything, especially understanding, like, again, we talk about some of those five up fronts that have been really popular for the Eagles on early rundowns to a critical point early in the season after the Jordan Davis injury, where we said, this has become too obvious. Ben Solak, who we know super well, I heard him rant and rave about this, that when you give obvious looks like that, five up, that kind of, you know, bare front where you've got the interior guys covered, it begs for the angles of man blocks. It begs for the angles of counter to try and pry some space open for these guys. And with Andy Reid now, I think because, you know, hey, we're trying to limit Mahomes moving around a lot as a part of the run game, they've been doing so much motion right at the snap. And if you're going to run counter and stuff like that in the NFL, you've got to have something going the opposite way. Like, handing off a lot of those jet plays early in that game is going to be huge for Kansas City to try and get the Eagles to, again, all these things to try and slow down their feet a little bit, because if you don't have something to hold the backside, it won't matter.
This is all stuff they did in the San Francisco game.
Yes, exactly.
Mecole Hardman is not in this game. Yeah. I would see Kadarius Toney, who is going to play in that role, getting some of those handoffs, stretch them horizontally. But, okay, so this is one of my favorite splits on the Eagles defense is versus RPOs. Okay, so versus RPOs versus the give or the pass. This is very funny. Do you want to guess? Okay, how many yards per attempt do you think the Eagles defense allows on RPOs, passes versus runs?
Ooh, passes, I'll say 6.5 yards
3.45 yards per attempt on passes, which is the second best in the NFL. 5.3 yards per attempt on runs, which is the 30th, so it's the second worst in the NFL. So literally, and a lot of that is by design. Most of the year has been a pretty shell defense. They want you to run the ball.
Yep.
So we can say they're not great at stopping the run for fundamental reasons, I think, personnel-wise. But this is a defense that wants you to run the ball. And I think if you're playing Patrick Mahomes, it sucks, but it's a good thing when he gives the football away, generally.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a big – so they're prepared, and that's one of the interesting, like, mental parts of this game that I can't account for yet, is you're right, you're prepared for that if you're the Eagles' defense. You've built that into the model. So if you're a defensive player on that side, you're undeterred because you're saying, all right, eventually we can catch them and, you know, subtract them on an early down, get into a favorable pass rush situation, and then we get to affect the game in the way that we've built this team to do. If Mahomes starts to do some of the freak show stuff, this Eagles defense has not seen a quarterback even close to him all year long. And I do wonder, you've got a bunch of veteran guys. I'm not questioning the leadership, but in this situation, on this stage, if all of a sudden you're getting your nose bloodied by Mahomes starting to do some of the vintage stuff, it's the one thing you haven't seen all year, and how that defense adjusts to, oh, now the bad man's here, is going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, I feel like it's, Eagles fans have a little bit perturbed by the, like, you haven't played anyone storyline, but it's not, I think, a judgment of the team so much as it is a question.
Right.
We just haven't seen it. I think that's been the problem. Or not the problem, but like, we're not saying the Eagles defense is overrated.
No.
We're saying that it's murky because of the competition level. By the way, the Chiefs had like one of the easiest schedules in the NFL, too. This is why they're in the Super Bowl. It's not like...
Exactly. You know, yeah. This is. I mean, that's why every year we look at that stuff so much at the beginning of the season. But it's also like you've got an historic outlier at that position on the other side. Even if the Eagles were one of the best at everything going into the season and they had played a bunch of these other high-level quarterbacks, he's still different.
Yes. Well, he will have some of his pass catchers back. It seems like Juju and Tony and them all play. Hardman's out. MVS is healthy. So it's going to be better than it was against the Bengals game. But obviously it always starts with Kelce. I feel like the most overused question, Dominique and I were like, what's the most overused thing people will talk about when it comes to the Eagles? I feel like with the Chiefs, it is, of course, how do you stop Travis Kelce? Everybody has a plan until he, and I'm not going to say you get punched in the face, until Travis Kelce is suddenly wide open, you know, downfield after Mahomes is somehow hold on to the ball for 13 seconds and like his, you know, the dot looks like it's like...
Oh, he might be my favorite dots in the NFL. Just watch. And do you have the noise for his run style? I always forget if it's him or
no,
if it's Kyler.
No, his run style is not... Kyler's...
Yes.
That is not how Travis Kelce runs.
Oh, no, I was thinking Mahomes' dots back there,
too. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, Travis Kelce's dots would be like...
Like, his in his ideal world, I'm sure would sound like a hip hop beat, but Mahomes too has like the Olympic power walker shuffle going on back there. He's incredible.
Well, that's important to what I'm about to ask you as it pertains to defending Kelce. Mahomes' mobility is very important because I think the Eagles face an interesting question, which is how much man coverage do you play?
Yeah.
Generally, we have seen the teams that tend to have success against Travis Kelce do play more man coverage. Yeah. I would say the approach you saw a lot from the Bengals, a fair amount, where it's cover one, but you're doubling him. Mm-hmm. They get hands on him at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. That's imperative, although the Chiefs do an excellent job of moving him around, putting him in bunches, lining him up everywhere to make that mission difficult. The Eagles defense, like, we associate Jonathan Gannon with playing the soft zone, but as the year has ticked on, they have played more man coverage. Would you do it in the Super Bowl?
I think so, just for the reason that you mentioned of the one consistent thing we've seen with slowing down the Chiefs offense is being really physical with Kelce at the line of scrimmage. If you allow him timing, we watched, you know, him and, you know, Scantling getting in the slot especially and just creating a mismatch there. So many of the early plays for them downfield in that game were going and beating up guys in that area. So I just think your game plan starting with trying to jostle him at the line of scrimmage, and they're going to use him and chip something. Like, that's the other thing they've done really well for that group up front is used him, Noah Gray, like these guys to get chips, get a little bit of help, slow down rushers up front. So a lot of times, to your point, he's getting delayed releases, he's getting short stuff where he's got a lot of action coming in front of him, and now he's the guy tucked in his zone. But I just think when in doubt, you've got to try and bloody his nose.
We did. I talked about this. I went on the Ringers podcast, the Philly special with Ben Solak and Stephen Reese, and I talked about a segment we did on NFL. Look at me. I'm like, I went on this podcast and talked about a segment I did. But it really, I mean, we did a segment on Kelce's crossers, which is basically a bucket. I mean, he averages 17.25 yards per attempt on crossers. Doesn't matter if you play me. I know it's disgusting.
Oh.
He's like, I think 90% of them went for first downs, 5 touchdowns, and it doesn't, like, if you play zone, playing zone against Travis Kelce is basically
and
like
that combination of him and Patrick, too. It's just, they're
it's
always
so
going to find.
Playing man, the Chiefs are really good, like we've been talking about, at finding ways to create traffic for him, especially on those crossers. And Travis Kelce's superpower is his spatial awareness.
Yep.
He's watching him navigate the picks created by being in a bunch, and they line him up outside again.
Yeah.
To try to create space for him is the thing of beauty. And then all of a sudden you look up and he's 20 yards downfield with the ball in his hands.
It's amazing. He has also developed, like, basically a swaggy Jason Witten, where he's got that slow turn button hook in the middle of the field. And now with Witten, it was like turning a tanker by the end of his career. But even Travis Kelce never looks his most athletic in that spot, but turns, one guy falls off him, and he's always, to your point, the spatial recognition is what made them both special in that spot.
And bringing him down is hard. Now, so I do think our stats guys, Sterling, sent some splits. The Travis Kelce's man zone splits are pretty, they definitely indicate you should play more man against him. This season in particular, he is 10.4 yards per target versus zone, 6.9 versus man.
Nice.
Higher catch rate, all of it, even though he's targeted the same rate. The danger, of course, against with playing man against the Kansas City Chiefs is their quarterback. If you turn your back to him, he will unleash the most infuriating 12-yard run of your life, where he is tiptoeing at the end and always a first down. He also, of course, can extend. And I just think you have to live, one, because of the mobility, which, to bring this full circle, we don't really know.
Yeah.
And then I do think you live with an MVS game. You don't live with a Travis Kelce just completely eating you up in zone game.
Oh, yeah, ABT, anyone but Travis. Like, that's got to be the goal for them. And the Mahomes point, too, I think really important for him to have put on tape at the end of that Bengals game. Like, the second half you saw, wherever percentage he's at mobility-wise with the high ankle, we saw in the second half willing to do whatever it takes. Limp through a couple of hard moments. It's the last game of the season. But scrambling for that first down that ends up getting extended by the Joseph Asai penalty, now you're, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles defense getting ready for this, and you're like, if push comes to shove, he is going to do this. So now you're late in the game, and it's a critical down and distance, and you've got that same predicament because you know in that moment, do you really want him all the way to making your life hell?
Boop, boop, boop. I also think you live with it because your defense is so good.
Yes.
Like, outside of Kelce, the Eagles' secondary, they have a matchup advantage across the board. Their corners are so good. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Jimmy being back is enormous as well. We'll see how often he draws Kelce in the slot and whatnot. Your corners are better than the Chiefs' wide receivers by a pretty significant margin. And whenever you've asked them to man up, whether it's like Slay versus Jefferson, you know, or whatever. Actually, so I just saw this. I alluded to it. Since week 10, the Eagles have played the ninth most man coverage in the NFL. I think that might surprise people. A lot of cover one. They play it a lot on early downs. I think Gannon has trusted them more and more. And this is a spot where I would, again, the quarterback complicates that to some degree. And, you know, maybe you want spy on him in certain situations. But I just do think, yes, at this point, you have to trust your defense because they're better.
Yes. I mean, it sounds, and it's that old kind of thing you have of do what got us here. We're going to do our thing versus adjusting for
the
opponent.
What's the thing to do,
But when your thing has been, even accounting for competition, 70 sacks in the regular season, with that combination, the way coverage marries with the pass rush for them, you really shouldn't overthink it, and you hope that's something that doesn't happen. Like, the Eagles should rightly roll in here with that confidence because, like you said, outside of a handful of positions, I think someone brought up, I think I might have been talking to Aaron Schatz on our pod, if you were to rank the players in this game talent-wise, 1 through 3 are probably on Kansas City.
And then
it's the next
the Eagles,
12
yeah.
are on Philadelphia.
Fascinating. 1 through 3,
I mean,
it's tricky.
Mahomes, Kelce,
and
then Chris Jones.
Yeah. This is why it's the fascinating team building Super Bowl, right? Because the Chiefs have like that small group of stars, but the Eagles are so deep. The depth of the defensive line coupled with the coverage is just such a nightmare because if you're the Chiefs and we talked earlier about how they can try to alleviate the pass rush a little bit with screens, running the ball, RPOs or whatever, but there will be situations where they're in third and long. This Eagles pass rush, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I do not like that matchup because they're so that we've seen at every turn, if you double any of them, freaking Javon Hargrave made like an insane play in the Super Bowl. Ooh. And now you've got guys like Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, where they don't have to play that much football. So when they're given the opportunity, they look like their old selves.
And the Chiefs offense will kind of get bored at certain points in the game of like early in the game, first few drives, you get all of the multi tight end help, especially on Wiley's side. They love adding an extra body there to kind of slow a guy down off the jump. But eventually they do settle in. And as Mahomes, I'm sure in like the last couple weeks is he's probably been like, hey, I'm good. Like, we're going to treat me like I'm healthy for this game. A lot more of just the normal drop back stuff with maybe a little bit of pre-snap window dressing. And so you start to get in that flow of the game where Pat wants the stuff that he's comfortable with being called. A lot more of that is, you know, four and five wide, whip motion stuff with the running back, where those guys up front aren't getting a ton of help. And so I do worry that it's one of those things where if you're not constantly aware, and against – this was the frustration with San Francisco against Philadelphia, where everyone being critical of Kyle Shanahan calling the play where Brock Purdy got hurt on, where you've got Tyler Kroft one-on-one with Hassan Reddick on the outside. That, to me, was a lack of awareness of where you need to allocate resources.
I appreciate you saying that so much because – okay – the immediate reaction was like, why would you block the best pass rusher with a tight end? And then the reaction to that reaction was, well, that's the design of their offense, of course. This is like, you know, this is what they do. Yeah. This is the boot. It's the play action, whatever. It's the guy coming across the block. That's like part of the design. However, at a certain point within that design, you have to recognize this pass rusher is so good and so fast,
yes.
Reddick. He has the ability to blow up a play. His get off is insane. His speed is insane. That sometimes you can't call that. Because the disaster potential is so high.
Like, and recognizing the front, like, when those plays get called, because you're right, O-lineman Twitter, we love complaining when tight ends are one-on-one with those pass rushers. On the majority of those plays, when the tight end is staying in the right look, eventually the tackle's supposed to go be the help guy. Like, you guys have a linebacker along with that down guy, and eventually, big guy go help little guy. Yeah. Like, simple math stuff there. You have that Eagles five down front, you had a double team on Linval Joseph inside. Like, there's got to also be some recognition that, like, when we're drawing this up and you're accounting for all these looks, it cannot be against that.
Yeah.
Like, man, trust your center one-on-one against Linval Joseph or Ndamukong Suh and say, let's make sure we're bleeding early towards that one. Like, that's got to be the game plan stuff. That's the resources conversation.
I think that the Chiefs will use a lot of heavy looks. I think those tight end. This has been a theme all year. They've been an amazing 13 personnel team.
Yeah.
I grabbed the Eagles split. They haven't played that much 13 personnel. I wanted to see how much base versus.
Yeah.
They do play versus 12 personnel. It's about an even split. They play a lot of sub packages. So, again, this goes back to what we're saying. There will be favorable run looks all game long.
Yep.
So some of this will also come down to whether Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have the patience to run the football.
Yeah.
Game script, right? Can they, if they. If things are already even, and this matters, of course, for the other side of the ball, will he give? To your point, though, again, when we go back to those, like, obvious passing downs, I do think, like, that matchup, the Chiefs are outmatched at tackle, I believe, but on that interior, that Humphrey and those guards, Tooney and Trey Smith, against Hargrave and that interior, it's so important because the pocket's going to collapse.
Yeah.
Patrick needs to have room to step up. And I think whether Creed can win, whether that interior offensive line can win is going to be the difference between a big play happening or not.
100%. And you're right. And even with Patrick, like, you've built in, it's sort of like what we saw with Aaron Rodgers for so many years, where I remember hearing from some of those guys, as an offensive lineman, your coach to never give up the inside. Some of those guys, you would kind of invite the guy inside because Aaron loved to get out so much. For Pat, it's kind of the same thing. Like, if you allow those guys to either get up or get out, he's so adept at kind of sneaking through that space and making life hell for you that interior. And we hear it so much in modern football, like protecting the interior against certainly lesser mobile quarterbacks, but even with a guy like Pat, for the exact reason you mentioned.
This is I keep going back to, like, I really feel like this game is going to be about in-game adjustments, you know, with some of the stuff that the Chiefs do early on. Like, it's actually not too dissimilar from the Chiefs defense, where I feel like scheme is going to, because they are at a talent disadvantage on both sides of the ball outside of a couple of positions, scheme is going to matter a lot. It's going to be really interesting.
Oh, it's... Yeah. It's going to be so much fun. And, like, honestly, I know we've talked about a couple of critical injuries, but in general, the fact that so many of the core elements of these teams
are
healthy
intact,
for this game.
Good.
Like, I used to True Media doesn't do it anymore, but they used to track offensive line combinations and how many snaps a particular group had played. And this was back, like, 2017, 2018. I used to go check at the end of every year, and you could almost set your watch to it. The two teams playing in the Super Bowl were almost always in the top five of snaps played together for the current
That's
unit on the field. Continuity is so important in these spots. Having the ability to make adjustments in game is predicated on guys having a communication process that's already been battle-tested in so many spots.
Both of these offensive lines being intact is, well, it makes for better football, certainly. Don't sleep on the Chiefs' offensive line. I feel like it's getting a little bit, because the Eagles' offensive line is so, not just dominant, but kind of flashy because of what they do.
Oh, God. There's his freak athletes on the line, right? Like, I shouldn't be able to do what Lane and what Jason do athletically up there. Kansas City's got good old-fashioned hossery on their offensive line.
So old, but
And I heard you say it on the podcast with Dominique about how the Chiefs are so young on defense in critical spots. They're going to be good for a long time. The core of your front being two second-year players and Creed and Trey, who was, you know, for the health reasons, an undrafted free agent, like, you're that payday is going to eventually come, and he's going to deserve it. But they've got such a good window here with that group.
That's something I want to talk about in the offseason. Now the Chiefs basically, like, reset their window and stayed – I mean, Patrick Mahomes makes that a lot easier. All right, let's take a quick break and come back and run through some bets.
The thing about Caesars Sportsbook, it's not just an app. It's your key to a whole empire. Hotels, casinos, restaurants, shows, Caesars Palace. I'm sure you've heard of it. Every bet you place with Caesars Sportsbook brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays at iconic destinations, app bonuses, merch, show tickets, and many more Caesars rewards perks. So get started today. Register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a bet credit.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. And I have to say, speaking from experience recently, having tried it for the first time in Detroit, it is absolutely delicious. Right now, you can get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So I pulled up the Caesars Sportsbook. It sounds like it's not a. I should have gotten like some branding for. I guess we're sponsored by Caesars. So I pulled up their use the app to get some bets and props. And this is your world, so you're gonna have to help me. I want to get your thoughts on them, though.
All right.
Start with the obviously just the spread. The Eagles are currently favored 1.5. This game, whoo, buddy. How you feeling about that?
I'm so nervous. Like, my pick all week has been the Eagles minus 1.5. That's kind of where I've lived. I think it's a game where the over-under that I've seen is more often than not been around 50, depending on, you know, which book you subscribe to. I think we're in over territory in this game. I think just because both offenses are so resourceful, like, a lot of the rushing touchdown overs in this game – because of what we mentioned, all in play. But I'm leaning Eagles.
It just has it at 51. I'm definitely over.
Yeah.
I definitely, as I've done both of these sides of the football, both sides I found myself thinking, like, how can the defense stop? You know, like, it's easier for me to envision how, like, to come up with ways for the offense to move the ball on both sides.
Yeah.
You're leaning Eagles. Oh, look, there's a picture of Lenny. That's so cute. It's so tricky because... after the Bucs Super Bowl, I was like, pick the team that's better in the trenches.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs, they're not bad in the trenches.
No.
I mean, like, people aren't really sleeping on how good the Chiefs' defense has been in their pass rush, I think. The Eagles are better.
I am worried about the Chiefs' pass rush us having a bit of overinflated sense of self after the Bengals game. That's my only fear.
100%.
Like, this is still the postseason where Chris Jones got his first playoff sack. Like, that's an amazing
that's
thing
crazy.
To consider, and the circumstances in which it happened are important.
Well, we keep saying, like, Chris Jones has to wreck this game, but, like, to get to that point, we're like, you know, they got to walk up the linebacker and he has to somehow get a one-on-one with Landry Dickerson. It's tricky.
Chris Jones has to be great. Frank Clark has to finally show
that's exactly,
up in a big way in the
I've
postseason.
Been going back to him versus Mailata as being an important matchup. Okay, so I'm slightly leaning Chiefs because in my mind, this is a high-scoring game. It's close. And if it's close in the fourth quarter, I'm going to bet on Patrick Mahomes.
It's the hardest part of this because also, like, I know this isn't like a – this isn't a bias and I like one team more than the other, but I selfishly root for history as a fan and a broadcaster. Mahomes winning two Super Bowls
great.
In his first three, two MVPs, like, we get to start having some real fun conversations.
Well, and we also don't have to have stupid conversations, which is like, did he blow his best chance at like being the greatest quarterback of all time and legacy stuff.
And the Joe
Burrow. I've got Eagles in-laws, so Eagles fans, pardon me, who are in-laws. I don't have any in-laws on the Eagles. So just to, like, be fully transparent, this is a great Super Bowl for me because I actually really like both of these. Like, I don't have any, like, sometimes I have, like, a private, like, oh, I didn't think this team would be good, so people are going to dunk on me if they win. I thought both these teams would be good.
Yep.
I liked watching them play, so I'm actually legitimately happy for either outcome. But no, I am leaning Chiefs.
100%. Again, I have said during the week I was amazed if my Eagles pick was going to hold through the whole week because Patrick Mahomes keeps me up at night, but that's a great pick.
Okay, Super Bowl MVP. So I'm going to read you in order. Okay. So we got Hurts and then Mahomes. You know, Hurts reflecting that the Eagles are favored. So let's hit the Chiefs side of the MVP odds. Okay. Mahomes, Kelce, you have to scroll way down.
Yeah.
Pacheco, Chris Jones, Goddard, McKinnon, Juju, MVS, keep going, Frank Clark, Nick Bolton. Okay. interesting. Okay, so I don't like any non-Mahomes bets for the Eagles. I think you have to really – I can envision a world in which a non-Jalen Hurts – like if he has a rough day throwing the ball or whatever, but they can still win. There's no world in my mind – where the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes is not the MVP. Like, that seems very hard to get to.
No, like, the only other one, because part of this is also you've got to have enough name recognition, come into it with enough cachet. The only one, if you wanted to just be, like, throw a few bucks on something on the off chance, would be Chris Jones. If he does have a game record type game,
he takes over.
Was an all-pro, like, going up against this, you know, historic Philly offense for them, that you could, but I'm with you. Don't bet anything.
Don't like
that.
Any of the skill players.
No.
Like, it just doesn't feel. Okay, the Eagles is, I think, way more interesting. So you have Hurts. Oops. And then after Hurts, you have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Miles Sanders, Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
That's, I'm looking at that, plus 3,500. I want to get down to Kenneth Gainwell. Dallas Goedert, who I didn't talk about, by the way, but I actually think could have a sneaky big game.
Huge.
And then you get to Gainwell and then Slay. All right. So I don't like A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith because I feel like if they go off, Jalen Hurts is winning it.
Correct.
I would vastly prefer Sanders or Gainwell.
Yeah, Sanders to me would probably be the one. Like, Gainwell, I think prop-wise, his yardage has been really low. And so I think it was like for like us, it was 19 and a half.
He's been awesome
in
the playoffs.
And he's been getting the workload. Double-digit carries in this playoff
touchdown
run.
I love a Gainwell touchdown in this game.
Oh, yeah, and that's the beautiful part is, like you said with Jalen, if he's not a dynamic rusher in this game, he pulls it enough to be a threat, and there's just so much space for – and Kenneth Gainwell, good in the open field. Good space. Like, he can pop 20 easy.
Defensively, I think Reddick, I said he's at 3,500, so he's behind Sanders. He's behind the wide receivers. I would take that over the wide receivers.
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. He's another guy that's just been so consistent in his impact and so timely. And for defensive players, you only need one or two plays in a game. So if you can have a couple of those game record plays like he had in the NFC Championship game and the offense is, you know, more of a grinded out, complete outfit, complete effort, you could sneak that in easy.
I'm looking at the dark horses and seeing if there are
any. Oh, God.
You mentioned Frank Clark. He's at plus 10,000. I don't hate that. As a dark horse, just thinking.
For an edge rusher too, you've always got a chance. Like, it's difficult going all the way back to the Giants. Like, that should have been Justin Tuck as the Super Bowl MVP that one year. But
Josh Sweat at +15,000 is the other one for the same reason. But like, if the Eagles come up with, or probably if the Chiefs come up with a game plan designed to take Hassan Reddick out of the game, that's the guy. I think he's going to give Orlando Brown the business, too.
That's sneaky, by the way, the matchup I've been most worried about, because they don't particularly give Orlando a lot of help. And he's big, and he's been very good.
They put their tackles on islands,
He can athletically get turned around.
Okay. I like that Reddick one. That's the one that jumps out to me. Reddick and Sanders are the ones that I like. All right, let's get to some player props. Passing touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes, 1.5 over or under.
Oh, over easy on that one.
Jalen Hurts.
Is it still 1.5 for him?
Still
too?
At 1.5 for him too.
I could see that's the shoulder. I probably wouldn't go near that one just because the shoulder's such a wild card. Seeing him miss, I had an AJ Brown over in that last game, and so seeing him miss that wide open touchdown to AJ Brown on a go ball haunts my dreams. But that being said, I would probably lean the under on that one just because I think if Philly wins, it's going to be dominant rushing attack.
If they're in the red zone, I think that's safe. Here's one that was giving me trouble earlier. Jalen Hurts, over under 50.5 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Let me pull up his – because we talked about this when Dominique and I were talking about the Eagles offense. I still feel like the Jalen Hurts injury thing is like makes things kind of challenging. So in the last two playoff games, he rushed for 39 and 34 yards. Obviously, those were kind of weird games. But, you know, it's been a while. I mean, the last time he rushed for over 50 yards was the win over Chicago, you know.
Right, and that defense, I mean, everyone was going to get at least 50 yards in that game.
The one reason, though, why I do like it is I've just been thinking about how the Chiefs defense plays this option attack, the RPOs, the zone read, all of that. You want Jalen to carry the ball 100%. Over the back. So I think that, you know, whether they're like using a linebacker to scrape exchange, I just still think there's going to be opportunities for him to run the ball.
Yeah, I think, too, you go back and look at the San Fran game. They aired so much on man coverage in those certain spots. You had both, like, they were getting formationed at linebacker really in a difficult way that ended up producing a bunch of open space play side for the running backs. I got to imagine the Chiefs are going to watch that and go, we're not going to give up wide open, like, let the banged up guy prove to us. Because the one thing with Jalen it affects is he was giving up a lot easier. Like, if he was
1,000%
anywhere near contact,
he's like, all right, good.
Live
good
to fight
for,
another
which,
day.
You know, good. But,
but in this game, by the way, take the governor off that, man. You got to fix that shoulder in the offseason.
Okay. Travis Kelce, 79.5. That's an over.
Gotta be. I mean, he's the one.
I mean, in the last game, I think we like came away from this last the Bengals, like we talked about, game plan to stop him. I think we walked away from that being like, that was a pretty minimal Travis Kelce game. He had 78 yards. Like, this is especially given the state of the Chiefs wide receiver group.
Yep.
I feel like that's over. Now on the Eagles side of things. Here's one that so A.J. Brown's leader was 71.5.
Yep.
What about – so here's one I like. Kenneth Gainwell, 11.5. I like the over on that.
Wait, is that receiving or rushing?
Receiving.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I think they're definitely going to use
his, like,
receiver.
Receiving rushing totals, like, for, like, places that have those options there, I'd imagine would probably, because of those being, like, either a low 30 or a high 20s in the combination, would be excellent. Like, he's such a great all-around player for them. And some of those dump-offs, like, we talk so much about the Chiefs screens and what they do there. Philadelphia, I will also give them credit early in these games for, like, Chris Jones. They did a lot of the stuff you're supposed to do to try and slow down the Niners pass rush. Like, it wasn't just, oh, we're going to do our thing. It was traps. It was dump offs to running backs. It's all those things. And so with Chris Jones and Frank Clark, they got enough respect for them, even with how good those guys up front. Like, both of these teams are confident without the hubris and play calling that leads you to just say, we're going to go and let them handle their business.
Yeah.
So.
It is interesting. Yeah, I don't think they'll have to do some as much as they did against the Niners because the Chiefs pass rush is not as good, and they're different, you know. But and obviously Jones being the strength, the defensive tackle, although, you know, they move him around or whatever. But yeah, I agree with that. Okay, on the other side, Chiefs receiving yards. So we did Kelsey. Oh, here's one I love. Noah Gray, 12 and a half.
We were just talking about Noah with Jeff Schwartz when he was coming by, and he, like, he's just another one, like a death by a thousand cuts all-star, and he's so adept. I feel like they do such a great job with Noah and Travis of just subtly switching both of them positions between Y and H on given plays.
So this was a play I think I highlighted 3 or 4 weeks ago. They were in 13 personnel. I think they were in a bunch or whatever, but Kelsey ran the underneath and, of course, commanded attention, and Noah ran the deep over.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's scary. Because as a defense, you're so keyed in on stopping Kelsey. Again, I do think that the Eagles will still stick to mostly their sub-packages versus those heavier sets. There will be opportunities for Noah Gray. Dude, he's going to be on a linebacker at some point in this game downfield. It will happen. And Mahomes, and this is one of the things that's been so amazing about him this year, he's going to throw him the football. You know, he'll throw that 100% football to anyone. He's open.
I would say they've got reps of doing that. Those two have time under task on that. It's awesome.
Okay. This one. Oh, Patrick Mahomes rushing yard. I don't like that. I don't. Let me do a different one. Let's just do. I kind of skipped over this, but total passing yards. Mahomes 294. That's a lot.
That is a lot, and to the point that we've talked about on this podcast for an Eagles defense that is going to invite them at any opportunity to run. That being said, me and Mahomes unders are not a thing. If I'm spending money on it, it's going to be on a Mahomes over.
I completely hate that. I hate Mahomes unders with every fiber of my being. Okay. I like that. You like the weird props.
I do, too. Do you guys have O-line O-line with a receiving touchdown? That's one for me. I'm always going to throw a few shekels just for the vibes.
Plus, the Chiefs do it. So
the Chiefs do it, and also the Eagles have an O-lineman that was a tight end at one point. Like, Lane Johnson is probably pound for pound the best offensive line athlete in the NFL.
Okay, Willis on Reddick, record a sack is, negative 150. Boom. Frank Clark is I'm like trying to find who's like a better I like we kind of alluded to this with the MVP. I like anything Josh Sweat related in this game because I just think Reddick is going to be such a focal point for the offensive line and the blocking scheme.
Josh Sweat is your Kenneth Gainwell. Like, I'm walking into this game enamored with what Kenny G does. I can understand the Josh Sweat, and also an incredibly marketable name.
It really is. Kenneth Gainwell and Josh Sweat, they have really like players whose names sound exactly like what they do during the game.
Yeah,
on this
team. They don't call him Kenneth Losswell. or Kenneth Gain poorly.
Kenneth Gain okay.
Yeah.
I don't like the weird, like, you know, the anthem and stuff like that. Cross sport bets.
I've seen one that was interesting to the Jalen Hurts rushing total of LeBron James combined points, assists, rebounds, or Jalen Hurts rushing yards.
Josh Sweat record a sack is not that favorable of a line, so sorry, guys. Here's one I love. Will C.J. Gardner-Johnson have an interception?
Ooh.
It's plus 550. I talked about this a little bit with the Philly guys. You know, I do think that there'll be traffic over the middle of the field, and he has gotten, like, tipped picks this season.
Oh, and Pat's got the earned confidence where he puts the ball in harm's way plenty. So.
Okay. I'm so nervous about my pick.
I am too. Everyone should be nervous
about
their picks.
I should have ended with the final pick to actually win the game.
We can just, like, pretend like we didn't give it before and just reset it now.
Well, you've been – let's just wrap here. And we got to wrap. You've been around. You've been talking to people. What's been, like, your anecdotal – sense of the sentiment right now? Is it Eagles or Chiefs?
Much more Chiefs heavy than I expected.
Yeah.
Like, I think, and it is that understanding that this roster is so much better than the one that lost in the Super Bowl for them, even if the Eagles have the overall better roster. But I've been amazed. So many people are saying, everything's close enough to say tie goes to the quarterback. And these are, you know, our smart friends, the analytics people that are still saying, like, we can still understand they've got a mutant in 15.
And I think there's just a little bit of uncertainty with the Eagles because of the schedule, because they haven't played the quarterback, because Jalen Hurts has rarely been in a position where he has to play from. I mean, I think there was a crazy stat. Let me find this. This is probably the Eagles offense, so I meant to bring it up when I was talking to Dominique. This blew my mind. Hurts has thrown 22 passes the entire season trailing in the second half.
Oh,
that's
God.
The second lowest percentage of the last 45 seasons. Now, that's not his fault. They're in that position because they're winning. I'm just Eagles fans, don't get mad at me. But it's just unknown a little bit if they end up there. They might not. They're so good in the opening script and everything like that. But
I think the best point is there are things we don't know in Philadelphia, and we feel like Pat and Andy and this core of the Chiefs have already been through. They've lived multiple football lives already. They are a different team than the last one that won a Super Bowl, and they're still here.
I reserve the right to change my pick 10 times between now and the Super Bowl. Right now, I'm on the Chiefs. Mike's on the Eagles. Many smart people are on the Eagles, so don't get mad, Eagles fans. I'm probably going to be wrong. I picked the Chiefs to beat the Bucks when they lost to...
It's my favorite part of Super Bowl week is us all just hedging publicly on different shows so we don't get got at the end.
Thank you so much for coming on, buddy. We'll revisit the team draft later. The scoring system also needs to be revisited, but we can address that when it happens. I appreciate you guys. Check out Gojo Show wherever you get your podcasts.